Morning. My name is Pastor Mark, and I welcome you here this morning. Glad that you've come to worship the Lord together. We just sang, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path." If you have God's word with you this morning, your Bible, I'd encourage you to turn to Psalm 116 through 120. Psalms 116 through 120. This past week, that was our assigned reading as a congregation. We read these psalms together. Made for an interesting week of reading. Because if you read these psalms, you would have read through the shortest psalm in the Bible, which is Psalms 117, just two verses long. You would have also read through the longest psalm in the Bible, which is Psalms 119. Psalms 119 is so long that it's longer than some Old Testament books. And Psalms 119 is longer than several New Testament epistles. So if you strapped on your Bible reading this week as we did it together as a congregation, and if you read through Psalms 119, you would have read a significant portion of your Bible this week. As I mentioned last week, Psalms 119 is laid out in 22 stanzas. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. This psalm is laid out in 22 stanzas, and each stanza is connected to the next letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It's an alphabetical psalm. So, as I said last week, if we could read this in Hebrew, it would be far more impressive than what it is for us with this English translation. Far more impressive, because we would look at it and we would see that it's laid out alphabetically. It would really stand out to us because we have a psalm that is in 22 stanzas, each connected to a Hebrew letter. There are 8 verses in every stanza. And every verse begins with that letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So as we read the first 8 verses of the psalm, and in English, if you will, it would be A. The next stanza would be B, 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 all the way. And it would take us through the entire alphabet, 8 verses, all beginning with that letter, through all 22 stanzas. So in the Hebrew, it's far more impressive, probably far more easier to read. It would captivate us more as it would take us through the alphabet. There are 22 stanzas of 8 verses each. That means you have a total of 176 verses. It's a lot of verses. 169 out of the 176 verses speak directly of the Word of God. Did you catch that? 169 verses out of 176 verses speak directly of the Word of God. That tells me the longest love poem in the Bible is not about the wonders of God's creation or the majesty of the heavens or the glory of God's attributes or the beauty of human relations. The longest love poem in the Bible is about the Bible, declaring its wonders and the awesomeness of God's revelation in written form. To me, that is very impressive. Longest poem, not about human love or the majesty of creation, but about God's Word. That means the author has such a high view of the Scripture that line after line after line, he's going to declare its value. So, 22 stanzas, 8 verses in each stanza, 176 verses, 169 with direct references to the Word of God, and there are 8 words used for the Word of God. Testimonies, commandments, statutes, precepts, words, promise, law, rules. Well, this morning, I hope to have a mercifully short message on the longest chapter in the Bible. And out of Psalms 116 through 120, I've strapped on Psalms 119 for the message this morning. It's such a remarkable psalm, and it's so wonderful and so wonderfully put together and so focused on the Word of God that I'd like to read the whole thing for you. But because it's so long, I'm not going to do that. Instead, what I'm going to do is, as I was reading these Psalms this week and spent quite a bit of time in Psalms 119, I took each section, 22 sections, and I just pulled one verse out of each section that I thought was a good summary of that section. And I've put together a 22-verse, concise psalm out of Psalms 119. And instead of having you flip with me at all the verses, let me just read one verse from each section, just a 22-verse reading this morning. Listen along. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. I have stored up your word in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Open my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on all your wondrous works. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. I will lift up my hands toward your commandments, which I love. I will meditate on all your statutes. This blessing has fallen to me, that I have kept your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Your righteousness is righteous forever, and your law is true. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I hope in your words. Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules. Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Well, let's pray together and we'll consider God's word this morning. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we are thankful for your grace to us in this written revelation concerning yourself. We're thankful for your word, as it teaches us and reveals to us who you are and what you're like, your attributes, your character, your nature, your activity, what you've done. Ultimately revealing to us Jesus Christ, your gift of love to us, the way of salvation for us. We thank you that you have preserved a written record that reveals to us yourself. And we delight in your word. And we want to honor your word this morning. And we ask that you would give us a sustained concentration on your word. And I pray that you would also increase in us affections for your word and a desire for it and a desire to know it and to live by it so that you might be glorified and so that our life might be good. Father, as we gather together this morning, I know there are family members who have lost loved ones in death this past week, and I know there are other family members who have experienced the marriage of their children. And all along the spectrum, each person comes in with things upon their heart and mind, and Father, you know every one of them. And your word is sufficient for counsel, and for hope, and for encouragement, and for correction and instruction. And so I pray that today, by your Spirit, you would take your word and minister grace to your people. I pray that we as your people might administer grace to one another in its various forms, and that together we might be built up today. And so we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, as I said, I've got what I think to be a mercifully short psalm or message on the longest psalm in the Bible. We're going to look at a lot of references this morning, and maybe you want to follow along, or maybe you just want to listen to the verses that I share with you. We're going to look at a lot of them. Growing up in the church where I was raised, there was a man there in that church who had a wife and children. And this man was greatly respected in the congregation.
By way of profession, he was an engineer and an outstanding engineer in his workplace. But this man in the church, he loved the Lord, he loved God's Word, he loved his wife and family, loved the church. He was just a highly respected individual. He had a real ability to handle the Word of God, to teach it, and to proclaim it, and to declare it. And he handled the Word of God well, in such a way that when this gentleman was the next Sunday school teacher, or if he was leading a Bible study, people would pursue him because he handled the Word well. He and his wife, again, they just loved one another, loved the Lord, loved the church, active in the ministry. One of the practices they had with their children was to encourage them and motivate them to memorize God's Word. Their kids were just a little older than I was, just a few years older, and they were pre-Awana kids. Our church eventually took on the Awana program, and I grew up going to Awana, and of course, if you went to Awana, you memorized a lot of Scripture, right? Oh, yeah. Well, this gentleman's kids were pre-Awana kids, just a little bit older. But he had the practice, he and his wife, of encouraging his children to memorize God's Word. You know, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee, right? Well, I remember he once encouraged his son to memorize Psalms 119. It's 176 verses. It's longer than several New Testament epistles. It's longer than some of your Old Testament books. But he encouraged his son to memorize Psalms 119, and along with the encouragement, he said, "Hey, if you memorize Psalms 119, I'll buy you a motorcycle." I remembered that this past week as I was studying Psalms 119 and the length of it. And I mentioned to Pastor Matt the other day, and he said, "Well, man, that's a no-brainer. Who wouldn't memorize Psalms 119 for a brand new motorcycle?" My memory serves me right. It wasn't long after the challenge was given that the young man had his motorcycle. He memorized a lot of Scripture. And his dad felt that it was important and good for him and beneficial. And the sad end of the story is that even though the young man memorized a lot of Scripture, he never learned to walk with God. His life was not an example of growing in godliness. His life was an example of self-directed painfulness. And as someone who was just a few years older than me, I remember observing his life, and in the reality of it, his life spiraled down a really bad road. And without going into detail, his life was just a debaucherous train wreck of a life. Sad to observe. I remembered that experience this past week, and I thought, man, this man had all the privileges. His dad was a respected engineer, a tremendous professional in his work environment, and in the church, he loved the Lord and loved his family, and he loved God's Word, and this young man had all the privileges. Parents who loved him, who desired that he grow in the knowledge of God and grow in the knowledge of God's Word, he could have gone far with the Lord and in life, but sadly, he wiped out. A few years ago, that man passed away. A few years before that, his wife had passed away. Both of them with solid testimonies of faith in Jesus and love for God's Word and love for God's people. The son never followed. Psalms 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee." What happened? What was the short circuit? It's not mechanical, right? Not pull this lever, get this response, get this outcome. I grew up in Awana. We memorized Scripture like crazy. I had peers. We used to compete with one another as it related to memorizing God's Word. Some of you maybe attended churches where they had Bible drills and Bible quizzing. It's kind of like, I'll crush you with my Bible knowledge. I'll destroy you in the competition. We read Psalms 119. I trust you read it this week. And we quickly discover the activity of the psalmist and the attitude of the psalmist toward God's Word. By activity, this psalmist certainly did memorize God's word and meditate on God's word and practice God's word. We see that. We also see in his activity or his attitude that he had a passion for God's word. He had a passion for God's word. He delighted in it. He desired it. He depended upon it. He lived by it intentionally. It was his delight. Where did that passion come from? Well, let's see if we can learn anything from God's word this morning about having a passion for God's word. We read Psalms 119, and the author reveals numerous times, I won't look at every verse, but I'm going to look at several of them. We read the psalm, and the author reveals he had a sheer delight in God's word. He delighted in God's word. It was the passion of his soul. You can listen to some of these verses, or maybe you can try to follow along, but verse 24, he says, "Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors." Verse 47, "I find delight in your commandments, which I love." Verse 77, "Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight." And then verse 111, "The testimonies, your testimonies, God, are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart." Here's a psalmist who's like, I love God's law. I delight in his commandments. I rejoice in its truth. He has a sheer passion and a sheer delight in the word of God. Not only does he reveal a delight in God's word, but he reveals a desire for it. Again, you may want to listen or you can try to follow along. I'm going to jump at just a few verses. Psalms 119, verse 10. "With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments." Verse 20, "My soul is consumed with longing for your rules at all times." What an interesting statement. My soul is consumed with longing for your rules. How many of you are passionate about God's rules? I long for your rules. We said last week, we talked about God's righteousness endures forever. The week before that, God's love endures forever. Last week, we talked about God's righteousness endures forever. What's your attitude toward God's rules? For the sinner, God's rules are an enemy. Because God's rules reveal guilt and condemn to death. For the sinner, the attitude, I hate God's rules. For the legalist, God's rules are a terrible taskmaster that takes away freedom. I don't get to do what I want to do because of God's rules. But for the Christian, God's rules are a servant that leads to Jesus Christ and reveals God's wonderful character. And the one who receives Jesus as his righteousness, God's rules become, I love your law. It reveals to me Jesus. It reveals to me God's grace. I now love your law. So what's your attitude toward God's rules? You either hate them or believe them to be a cruel taskmaster, or it's a servant that leads you to Jesus and reveals to you God's character and grace. This psalmist in verse 20 said, "My soul is consumed with longing for your rules." 103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." God, your word is better than chocolate, ice cream, candy. Verse 72, "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces." Verse 127, a similar command or a similar word, "Therefore I love your commandments above gold, above fine gold." You recognize this? Some of you may have some of these. A friend of mine had a few of these earlier this year and asked me if I wanted to buy them. Let's see if I can get the thing open. That's a silver piece. That's pretty fancy, isn't it? My precious. pure silver. It's a U.S. silver dollar. And not silver-coated, solid silver. It's worth more than a buck, or I got seriously ripped off. It's probably valued at about 40 bucks a piece. So this roll of silver is probably close to $1,000. Now don't be impressed, this is a significant portion of my silver holdings. How would you like to have a room filled of silver coins? A nice sized room right here. How would you like to have a room filled with silver coins? Throw some gold ones in there too. Nothing wrong with having a room filled with silver coins, right? Nothing wrong with it at all. The Bible would just say don't set your heart on them, because these things are kind of funny things. They can sprout wings and fly away. That's the word picture the Proverbs writer says. Don't set your heart on these because they can sprout wings and fly off. Or they can corrode. Or they can be stolen. I hope to get out of here alive this morning. Put them in my pocket. You have a room full of silver coins, the Bible would say be rich in good deeds, be generous and ready to share, store up for a treasure for yourself, for the future. The psalmist would say, twice over, given the choice between a room full of silver and your word, God, if that's the option, I'm going to take your word. If it's one or the other, a room full of silver coins or your word, God, I'm going with your word. That's a tremendous statement of value, folks. Because these little silver coins are the best this world has to offer. Because you got silver coins and gold coins, you can buy stuff. Lots of stuff. And stuff is all this world has. And stuff eventually is all going to burn. Including these little silver coins. The psalmist twice over says, God, if it's an option between silver and gold pieces, lots of them, and your word, I'm going with your word. That's remarkable. So the psalmist delights in God's word. He desires God's word like honey and money. Finally, the psalmist also depends on God's word. Just a few verses out of many that we could look at. Verse 2, blessed, happy are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart. Verse 5, oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes, then I shall not be put to shame. Verse 31, I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your promise gives me life. Oh, verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. And verse 40, behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. So I read Psalms 119. And I see this psalmist, I see this author writing the longest love poem in the Bible. 176 verses. 169, all focused on God's Word. And I read the psalm, and I see his delight in God's Word, and his desire for God's Word, and his dependence on it. He lives by God's Word. And I ask the question, man, how do you increase your desire for God's Word? How do you raise within you affections and desires and passions for God's Word? So that your approach to it is not like, I got to check off my Bible reading today. Duty number one. Got the box done. Instead of having an attitude of, I'm going to memorize God's word so I can get the Harley, it's like, no, I delight in God's word. I desire God's word. I pursue it passionately. How do I develop a heart attitude like this psalmist? It's very practical for me. I hope it's a very practical question for you. It's very practical for me because I'm the preacher. And for preachers, Sunday's always coming. And there's funerals and weddings. Sunday's always coming. And all of a sudden you can have, and the word is my labor. And all of a sudden you can have a preacher who's just saying, boy, I hope to get something out of this so I can give it to my people. Instead of, I delight in this, and I desire this, and I depend on this. This is my life. Not just my career, it's my life. So how do you raise affections for God's word so that your soul matches the soul of the psalmist saying, I delight in your law, rule over me, teach me your statutes? Well, a couple of responses or answers to that question that I found in the text. First of all, if you want to increase a passion for God's word, ask God for it. Ask Him. God, cause my heart to delight in your law and in your word. The psalmist does that. Verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. Verse 27, make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. Verse 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep them to the end. Verse 37, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. How much of our time is our eyes occupied with looking at worthless things? Teach me, O Lord, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. In verse 58, I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. We could go through this psalm and see not only a delight in God's word and a desire for it and a dependence on it, but we would see the psalmist asking God, teach me your word, reveal it to me, show it to me, open my eyes that I might see it. And so I think the right place to start is asking God for grace in this area. I want to know your word, O Lord. Teach it to me. The second thing I see in the psalm in answering this question, how do you increase your passion for God's word? Ask Him. And secondly, just do with the word what this psalm instructs. Listen to a few more verses. Verse 11, I have stored up your word in my heart. Verse 13, with my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Verse 72, my tongue will sing of your word. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law, it is my meditation all the day. And verse 168, I keep your precepts and testimonies, for all of my ways are before you. What does the psalmist do with God's word? He asks God to teach him and reveal it to him, but he also stores up God's word, speaks God's word, studies God's word, sings God's word, and submits to God's word. He wants to know God's word, and he has a delight and a desire for it, but he spends time in it, and he memorizes it, and he meditates on it, and he gets up early, and he's thinking about it, and he goes to bed at night, and it's on his mind, and he sings it, and he speaks it, and he declares it, and he lives by it. So how do you increase a passion for God's word? Ask God to increase those desires is the place to begin. God gives grace to the humble. And secondly, just do what the Psalms instructs you to do, following the example of the psalmist. Because what you treat as precious becomes precious to you. You treat God's word as precious, it'll become precious to you. You ignore it, and that's the value you'll have in it. But you treat it precious, like the psalmist treated it precious, and it will be precious to you. You want some examples? You ever go to someone's house and they have one bone ugly dog at that house? You're like, man, that's one scruffy looking ugly mutt. And they treat that little dog like it is a princess. They feed it treats and oh, they rub it and they sit on your lap and they love that little dog. And you're like, good night, that dog is ugly. We have a dog like that. It's 9 years old. I think it's going bald. It is one ugly little thing. It doesn't even weigh 5 pounds. Look at this little yellow. Aww. And everyone treats that little pooch as precious. Precious little thing. Feeds it treats. Sits, has a special bed on the couch. It's destroyed half our furniture. If our kids did that, woo, there'd be trouble. But not the puppy. You'd come to our house and we treat that dog as precious. You'd be like, that dog's ready for formaldehyde. What What you treat as precious becomes precious to you. You have a little first or second grade kid. They go off to school. A few weeks into the school year, they come home with their first art project. And everyone would see that art project and say, whoa, dumpsterize that thing. Who did that? That's not the way you treat it. You have a little first grade, second grade boy or girl, they bring home their first art project. What do you do to it? Oh, you stick it on the fridge, the magnet, and it's there until the next project comes home. And when the next project comes home, you take that down and you put it in a chest because you're going to bring it out on graduation day. What you treat as precious becomes precious to you. And the psalmist valued God's word, and he treated it as precious, and it was precious to him. And he desired it, and he delighted in it. He wanted more of it. He wanted to be ruled by it. And he'd ask God to teach him and to reveal him and to open it up to his heart and mind and life. And he would meditate on it and memorize it and read it and teach it and sing it. And he'd write a psalm, 169 verses, proclaiming its value. Longest book in the Bible, declaring the value of the Bible. Remarkable. So two applications this morning from Psalms 119. Ask God to increase your delight and desire for His Word and put His Word into practice. Treasure it. And watch God increase your delight in it. For we want to be a people of His Word. For this is how God has revealed Himself to us in that which is written down. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before Your Word this morning. We thank You that it is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our way, and we're thankful that You have revealed in its pages Yourself. We thank You that Your commands are good and righteous and enduring, never changing. We thank You that Your truth is eternal. We thank You that it is a foundation to trust in and to build our lives upon. Father, we pray with the psalmist and we ask that You would increase in us affections for Your truth, affections for Your Word. I pray that You'd increase in us a desire to be ruled by You and find our freedom in living under Your law. Father, we are so grateful and so thankful. Teach us Your Word. Increase in us desires for You in it. We love You, Lord. We thank You for loving us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.